Lee and worship team. You know, I am already looking forward to my tryptophan-induced coma this Thursday. I look forward to it every year. It's a great way to spend a Thursday. But you know, there's something very special about Thanksgiving and the time we have together. There's a Thanksgiving meal that's shared with those you know and love, and you can reflect back on all the good things and be grateful for what God has done. But let's say you're hosting the Thanksgiving meal this year, and it's a big deal. You prep for it, you got people coming over, you're all ready for it, and you know, these things never go according to schedule. You know, you can have it all mapped out, and something won't work just right, or something else will happen. There'll be complications. And so finally, this incredible meal is ready. You put it out to serve it, everyone's around, you're gonna celebrate together, and then you hear, "Mine's cold. I don't like potatoes." You know, when you get, all you want to hear is, "Thanks. I put a lot of effort into this." You want to be appreciated for what you did. And when the first thing you hear is a complaint, it kind of like just deflates the whole thing. A simple thank you to be appreciated, it means a lot. We have a 5-year-old at home. And so we're often saying things like, "Did you wash your hands? Say thank you." You know, the funny thing is, after we say these things, like, "Did you wash your hands?" "Oh, how did you know that I didn't?" It's like, I'm a dad, I know everything. So he hadn't realized yet that that's not true, so I just kind of play along like this. But, you know, we say, "Hey, wash your hands." Say, "Please." Say, "Thank you." These are important. Why do these things matter so much? Why does it matter that we say thank you, that we're grateful? Well, the answer is very simple on one level. God wants you to. You know, the scriptures say this: it is the will of God that we be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So often we say, "Oh, I want to know the will of God." Well, it's really easy. Have a grateful spirit. Be thankful. Why should God give us the details if we're not willing to follow through on the basics? It's God's will that we be thankful. Thankfulness is important. But why? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes today as we look into your word. I pray that you would give us hearts that overflow with thankfulness, regardless of our circumstances. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You can open your Bibles if you want. We're gonna turn to the original Thanksgiving proclamation, as Bob shared with us earlier today. It's in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is part of a major storyline in the Bible. It's we know it as the Exodus. God is saving his people from slavery in Egypt. And he sent them a rescuer, a savior, a fellow named Moses. And Moses led them to the promised land. Now, this, as I said, in chapter 8, is the original Thanksgiving proclamation. What's happened is what was originally supposed to be just a 2-week hiking trip to get from Egypt into the promised land blew up into a 40-year ordeal. Gilligan's Island has nothing on this. 40 years. And you can read it, and I encourage you to do it in the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers, kind of give the history of what happened. And you think, my goodness, didn't these people learn anything? God led them to the promised land, right to the brink. Now, Moses wasn't able to go in, but the book of Deuteronomy, which follows after the first 4 books of the Bible, is a series of several sermons that Moses spoke to the people before they went into the promised land. He's saying, guys, get this right so you can enjoy life in the land that God has promised you. As I said, it should have been a 2-week hiking trip, but it ended up being a 40-year ordeal. And this is what he has to say to his people. This is from his second sermon. It's in chapter 8, and I'm going to start in verse 10. It says this: "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." God wants us to be thankful. It's one of the first things he told his people, as you go into the next big chapter, the promised land, be thankful. So why does that really matter? You know, my five-year-old Ben is constantly asking, why? Why do we do this? Why do this? Why do I have to say thank you? Why do I have to say please? So I started thinking about it. Why do we say thank you? Well, looking at it negatively, ungratefulness has consequences. And I'm going to be pulling examples from this story, this Exodus, that God used to show us really what's in all of our hearts. Ungratefulness, unthankfulness is really bad news. As I said, at the Thanksgiving table, if someone complains about the meal that you prepared, it's like, oh, it just feels bad. But unthankfulness, ungratefulness, it will make you stupid. It will make you irrational. Let me give you an example. In the story, as the Israelites are going through the wilderness, in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, they start this little rebellion. Now, here is what has happened. They have been out in the wilderness for a little over a year now. They're wandering around, and they've never gone hungry. God has given them water to drink out of a rock. He's given them manna from heaven. He's provided everything they need, yet they still found reason to complain. They weren't thankful for what all God had done. Just a year earlier, they had been crying out, Lord, when are you going to save us? When are you going to send a Savior? And God did send them a Savior. He sent them Moses, who took them out of the land of Egypt. And that was after these plagues that destroyed the most powerful empire in the world at the time. God did it. Oh, and by the way, just before this happened, God crossed, led his people through the Red Sea, and then drowned the army that was chasing them right afterwards. If I saw something like that, I'd say, God, I'm yours. I'll do it, whatever you want the rest of my life. I'm sure they were saying that back then. But the months wore on. They got ungrateful. And then they started complaining, and they went to Moses, and they said, hey, we don't like this. We want you to take us back to Egypt right now. What? That makes no sense. Just a few months, just a year or so earlier, you were enslaved. Life was brutal. It was miserable. And this is how ungratefulness makes you stupid. It makes you irrational. Because they started complaining to Moses, and you can read this in Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. But Moses, the melons, the leeks, the cucumbers, they were awesome back in Egypt. Wait a minute, but you were enslaved. You were brutalized. You were mistreated. You were begging to get taken out. And God gives them a Savior, takes them out, and all you can think about is how great the cucumbers were? Ungratefulness makes you irrational. Ungratefulness causes us to miss what we already have as well. We miss out on what is right in front of us. You ever seen a child at the checkout lane in the grocery store? And you know, when you go through those aisles and all they've got is candy, and you know as a parent you're going to be saying, no, 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 no. And those little hands just reach out and want to take that stuff that's right on the aisle. And we've all seen it. Maybe it's our own or someone else's show, but you've all seen the child having a tantrum. I want that candy bar. Why can't I have that candy bar? And it's embarrassing for everybody. And what that child misses out on is that they want the candy, but right next to them, a parent is pushing a cart that is filled with food and clothes so this child can live a good life. But because they're obsessed with a candy bar, they don't see any of it. You miss out on the good things that are going on when you're ungrateful because you don't have what you think you need. And then sometimes you will end up getting what you want, what you're craving, and you'll see that it doesn't lead to the contentment that you thought it would give you. In Psalm 106, I'd encourage you to read it sometime. Psalm 106 recounts the story of how God was faithful all through the Exodus, all through the time God provided for his people. And it has the refrain in there, give thanks to the Lord our God, his love endures forever. And it gives example after example after example. But then it gets to the point where the people were thinking, man, but the cucumbers in Egypt, so what that we were persecuted? So what that we were brutalized? But, you know, those cucumbers, those leeks, those melons, they were awesome. gets to that point and God says, okay, I'll give you what you want. And in the end, you'll see that it doesn't satisfy. God gave them what they asked for, but then there was this spiritual brokenness that came with it. It was because they were ungrateful and couldn't see how good God had been to them. You know, many of us probably have secret or not so secret ambitions of winning the lottery one day and just thinking, oh, I wouldn't have to show up to work. I could get a better house. I could live in a better place. Wouldn't have to be around any of the people that annoy me. But you know something? We all know the track record of lottery winners is not good. There's report after report after report of people who have all of a sudden gotten everything they could think they could want, and they've turned their lives into a train wreck because they don't appreciate what they do have. So bearing in mind that the Israelites' track record in the desert wasn't good, God gave this Thanksgiving proclamation. Cultivate a spirit of thankfulness towards God for all that he's given us. Carries on in verse 11. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. This is Moses speaking. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, sounds like Northern Virginia to me, then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God who bought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Ingratitude, not giving thanks to God for what we do have, promotes pride. Because see, when we're not thankful for what we have, we start going, I did it all. Look at all I have accomplished. Maybe you look at your bank account. Maybe you look at your house. Maybe you look at your job. Maybe you look at whatever. And you start going, yeah, I'm pretty good. I did it. And that's a bad thing, because anytime we're proud, we're working against God. And that is a bad place to be. God says, remember me. In the midst of what you have, remember me. Ungratefulness promotes pride. It makes me at the center of the universe because it's all about me and what I want. I'm independent. I'm an island. I can do it all. It's self-centered. But you know, when we're unthankful, we're ultimately unthankful to God, and we're rejecting him because there are many things that we enjoy in life that no human being is responsible for. We have life. We have breath. Someone had to give them to us. And if we're not willing to say, God, thank you, then we really, really miss out. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church in the book of in Rome, said this: you want to see the trajectory of people going away from God, it's this. And in Romans chapter 1, it says this in verse 21. For although they knew God, people, meaning we can look at the universe, the skies, nature, everything around us and say, someone had to make this. There's no way this could have happened by chance. For although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. They became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Ingratitude ultimately takes you down a really bad trail away from the God of the universe who knows us and loves us and says, I'll give you everything you need if you cling to me. Ungratefulness was at the core of Adam and Eve's sin. Their place in the garden, paradise. They're told you can have anything you want except the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what's the one thing that the serpent used to distract them from God? Just like a little kid wanting to get that candy bar when there's a whole cartload of stuff for them. They could have had anything else. He says, hey, that fruit looks real good. God must not love you that much. He can't be that good if he won't let you have it. And Adam and Eve, and it was both of them, said, yeah, you're right. We ought to try that. Serpent used the same technique that Madison Avenue uses on us today. If only you could have this. You may be okay with what you have, but it's not enough. You need more. Ungratefulness leads us down the wrong path. So let's look at the positive side of things. A thankful attitude, a grateful heart blesses everyone around us. You know how much fun it is to be around people who are thankful? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a cheerful or a joyful heart is good medicine for everyone around. You love to be around people who are just thankful. The opposite is true as well. No one wants to hang around with a complainer. Think about it. A complainer can just drag down the whole room that they're in. Complainers cause collateral damage. In this Thanksgiving proclamation, it continues like this in Deuteronomy 8, verse 15. He, God, led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something that your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. God allowed all these things to happen so that people would turn to him and say, Lord, we need you. And Lord, thank you for providing everything. See, a thankful heart really promotes humility. It flows out of humility. And that's a really good place to be. Because when we're humble, God is able to use us willingly for great things. But when we're proud and say, it's all about me, I did it all, then we're working against God. And that's a really dumb way to live. But when we're humble, then we're working with God and he can work through us. Verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. When we're grateful, it reminds us that we need others. We are not an island. And most basically, we need God. Gratefulness is the antidote for self-centered living. And when we live with grateful hearts, everyone around us gets the ripple on benefits from that. Now, I wanted to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to give you about a one-minute break. And it's not, well, if you want to stand up and stretch, you can. That's fine. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to just walk out of here and say, okay, we heard about the first Thanksgiving proclamation. Big deal. I want you to take a minute, and I'll give you a minute, and I want you to write down three things you are thankful for. Okay? Go. You got a minute. You don't have to listen to me for a minute. Okay, this is important. Take some time to do it. We need to cultivate Thanksgiving. If you don't have a pen handy, that's okay. Just think about it and think about it over and over. Three things you're thankful for. Okay, you're not done. Keep working on those three things. Then I also want you to add one other thing to it. I want you to write one person that you need to reach out to and say thank you. Might be a phone call, might be someone you see today. But write down one person that you need to thank for something they've done for you. Love seeing you all work at it. This is great. It will bless many people. Rather than saying an application at the end and just randomly hoping something might happen, I pray that we would see how important it is to have a thankful heart. Think of three things you're thankful for and one person you need to thank. See, ultimately, thankfulness points us to God. Because when we're thankful for those things that you cannot attribute to another human being, you've got to say, God did it, and I'm thankful. Now, we can choose to deny God and all he's done, which is a bad path to go down, or you can thank him for what you can't do yourselves. The Apostle Paul, when he was preaching in Athens, was speaking to people who are not worshipers of Jesus, who did not worship the one true God. And so he said, I want you to look around, think about nature. It all points to a creator. Then in Acts 17, verses 24 and on, he says this, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Why? That they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from any of us. See, when you stop and think about all that you have, yes, there's stuff that we have that we're thankful for, that people have done for us. But ultimately, there's things that we can't attribute to another human being. God has given us life and breath. And if you follow that logically, it has to take you to God. And you know, the wonderful thing about God is he's not there playing stump the chump with us and hide and seek or anything like that. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. Ultimately, the greatest thing that we can be thankful for comes through Jesus Christ. It's what we call the gospel. It's how you get right with God. Because when you get to the end of the line, you say, okay, I'm thankful for God. I realize that he has given me stuff that I can't do by myself. I would like to know him. God reveals himself to us through the Bible. And what we see in the storyline of the Bible is as human beings, each and every one of us fall short of God's standard of perfection. We might think, well, you know, if I'm good, I'll make it up to heaven. If my good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, then that's enough to be thankful for. But the problem is God says, my heaven is going to be perfect. There's no space anywhere for sin, not even a sliver of it. That's wonderful. But it's also bad news for us because we've all fallen short of God's standards. We all sin. And the story of the Bible is that God loves us so much that he said, the death penalty is hanging over you, and there's nothing you can do to fix that. But I love you so much that I will give you a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the only one to have ever lived a perfect life. None of us can do that. Jesus lived a perfect life. He didn't have to die, yet he chose to go to the cross for us. And when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he took the punishment for your sin and mine. Everything that I'm ashamed of, everything, all the junk and crud about me, Jesus took that on the cross and paid the penalty that we could never pay. He offers life to us by saying, will you believe that I died for you, paid that penalty for your sin, and rose again from the grave? The Bible says that when you receive Christ, you passed from death unto life. You can enjoy life this side of the grave with God as his child. And then beyond the grave, heaven is your guaranteed future. That's something to be thankful for. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is awesome what he has done. The gospel is how we become Christians. We are made right with God. But it's also how we live as better Christians because we keep going back to the cross in everything. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. See, when we're blown away with the greatness of the gospel, the only outcome that makes any sense is that we would have thankful hearts. Regardless of what life circumstances are, all around us, thankfulness to God will fuel a life that honors him. Thankfulness, just like grumpiness and ungratefulness, is a choice that we make. And the choice that we make sets the tone forever we are. It sets the tone and impacts those around us in our homes, our workplaces, and everyone we randomly encounter throughout a day. Whether we complain or give thanks says what we think about God. You know, there are many heroes you can have in life. Maybe it's Superman, maybe it's Batman, maybe it's Wonder Woman, whoever it might be. But let me tell you a better group of heroes. And we have books about them right outside here in the community room. Great heroes of the faith, Christians who have just ordinary people but have done great things for the Lord. I'd encourage you to check them out. It's kind of done under the auspices of our children's ministry, but adults, we can get a lot out of it too. So let's grow from these people. But I want to tell you an account. This is a true story from World War II. Some of you may have heard of Corrie ten Boom. She is a Dutch woman. She wrote a book detailing her experiences called The Hiding Place. And this is the deal. Corrie was a girl in a family living in Holland as the Nazis started taking over that part of the world. It was a godly home, a Christian home. And her dad said, "We're going to do the right thing." And so they sheltered Jews who were fleeing the Nazis. They had a secret compartment in their attic, and it worked for quite a while. But then someone ratted them out. The whole family was arrested, shipped off to different prison camps. Corrie and her sister Betsy were kept together, though. And they were placed in Ravensbrück concentration camp. And one of the awful conditions in there, which we can't imagine, but there was fleas over everything. She had a Bible with her. They'd been able to smuggle a Bible in. And her sister Betsy read the verse that we did at the beginning of this morning. And it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God." She said, "Look, Corrie, we need to do this. We need to say thank you to God." "Oh, come on, we can't do that." "No, we need to thank God for it." And they did. Months later, after the Allies liberated the camp, you know what they found out? They found out that because of the fleas, the Nazi soldiers, the guards, avoided their barracks. Because the Nazi guards avoided the barracks, none of the women staying in this barracks were assaulted by the soldiers because of the fleas. Because the soldiers avoided the barracks because of the fleas, this Bible that Betsy and Corrie shared was opened and read out loud. And many, many women who were prisoners in that concentration camp came to faith in Christ, all because of the stinking fleas. And because some Christians said, "You know, God, we're going to be thankful in all these circumstances. I'm sure they didn't want fleas around them, but Lord, we're going to be thankful." See, here's the reality. We live in a fallen world. All of us have fleas of some type around us. Maybe it's a health challenge, job challenge, family, whatever it might be. And we got a choice. We can say, "Man, this stinks." And that's true, it might. And we can complain and shake our fist at God. We're going to say, "Lord, it's beyond my control. And I'm going to give it to you because you're able to do something with it better than I can ask or imagine." Betsy and Corrie ten Boom took a very simple step of faith. Nothing grandiose theologically, but they said, "God, we're going to obey what you say in your word. And we don't like these fleas, but we'll thank you for them regardless." Now, when they were going through it, they didn't know why. Maybe they thought, "God, if we thank you, you'll get rid of them and life will be nice." But God kept the fleas there. But because those fleas were there, no one was assaulted. And many came to faith in Christ because that Bible was opened and read. God can work through the fleas. He can work through any circumstances that we're under. The choice we each need to make is where we say, "Lord, I'm going to be thankful and trust you to do something greater than I can ask or imagine. Or, Lord, I'm going to take things under my control." It's an easy choice, but it's a choice we each need to make. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a people who live thankful lives. Lord, I pray that the thankfulness we have would be rooted in the gospel. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Lord, would you give us eyes to see that you are at work all around us in ways that are greater than the circumstances we can't control. And I pray that rather than submit to our circumstances, we would choose to submit to you and thank you and allow you to work through us. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.